Well, we're talking about engineering and mixing your own work. For those of you who are just tuning in, we're joined by members of the Central Second Collective of bands. You can check out myspace.com/thecentralsecond. And five of those bands are going to be performing for us at the Kill Radio Benefit Show at the Echo, which is 1822 West Sunset Boulevard. And that's January 18th. And it's so it's a week from this Thursday. And that's 18 and over, $5 cover, which is nothing, a buck a band. And it's going to help Kill Radio get some new equipment and keep broadcasting alternative music and news from the underrepresented internationally. That's the one good thing about online radio. Back to talking about engineering, you know, you have some experience in engineering. You were saying it was really difficult to, the first mix that you did just didn't sound right. I've heard other artists on Is Good, on the interview show that I do, tell me that it's the hardest thing in the world to do is to engineer your own music, because you're just super critical of your own voice and your own guitar playing and everything like that. Was that true that your second time around when you re-engineered it and you have the CDs like the way you want it? Was it a laborious process?
It was a lot easier to engineer the second time around, and I think like the main reason why is because I hadn't listened to the album for about like a good 6 months or even more, and so I kind of
got that distance.
I had it, you know, I was listening to it like with like fresh ears and a fresh start. The thing that we did was like right after we wrote the songs, we were performing the songs, we went to the studio and we recorded it, and then right after that we just mixed it, and there was really no break. And by the time I was done mixing, like the first time around, I was so just sick of listening to them, and I was tired, and I was like extremely stressed out about the whole thing. So I just wanted to leave it, and I was never really happy with it. I just kind of stopped listening to it, and I'm glad I decided to go back and listen to it. And now I think it sounds a lot better, and I'm actually really proud of it, and I'm ready to really promote it and send it out to reviews and you know, just get it out there as much as we can. So
that you also engineered one of the Happy Hollows CDs,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And what was? Did you feel this was more or less recently, right? They were already part of the Central Second Collective.
Yeah.
Did you feel a special responsibility in terms of, you know, doing it right? Not just because you're a fan, and not just because you're like someone that they might have, you know, that they would hire like from the outside, but because it also represented you as part of the Central Second Collective. Like, it's important for them to sound good, because that is a reflection on the whole group.
Exactly. And I mean the biggest thing was also is, I mean, one, I'm a huge fan of the Happy Hollows. I'm inspired by them. I mean, I think of them as like, you know, kind of like Pavement or Sonic Youth, where like I'm just that inspired by them. And to be the person engineering that, I felt like I had a lot of responsibility to make them sound as, you know, as true as they could be. And I sat down with them and I told them, I was like, look, I'm going to be giving you guys, you know, like critique, and I'm going to, you know, really act as a producer, but I want you guys at the end of the day, I want this to sound exactly how you want it to sound, or else my job hasn't been done. And so,
were there any beer bottles thrown?
It was actually really, really, it went really smooth. There was like, I think there was like one or two things that I did just in the mix, and because it was recorded digitally, it was really easy to just to reverse it. And there was like a couple things, like I gave it to the Happy Hollows and they came back, they're like, oh, you know, you put like a little bit too much reverb on this, or like I would throw out an idea and I was like, Sarah, try singing it, you know, like a higher pitch, or like doubling your vocals this way. And then she'd be like, I appreciate your feedback and your idea, but,
but
we
try
really
going
like
to
it
hell.
This way. Yeah. But no, I mean, like, it was like seriously, like maybe like two very, very minor things, and the rest of the things, like, they liked my ideas and they brought out, I mean, they co-produced it with me, and it went really, really smoothly. So we were all happy at the end.
That's fantastic. So. And that's not the only case of different Central Second bands sort of working together with other Central Second bands. And Christian, we were talking before about, You brought in a CD that involves was it Sarah from the Happy Hollows? Grab a mic and tell us what we're.
Yeah,
why don't we listen to that?
Vocal stuff,
hold on one second. Sorry. didn't have your mic up.
It's okay. I asked her to do vocal stuff, and she was cool with it. She pretty much did all the vocal stuff.
Can we listen to that?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if maybe just Rob was asking in a mean way. Sometimes he'll say, sing this now or die. And I was like, sing this now, please. I'll pay you.
Yeah, you just have better ideas than me.
No.
So this is what we're about to hear. This is the Transmissions featuring Sarah from the Happy Hollows.
Yeah, this is a song that I'm mixing myself, which is going almost exactly like Rob just described.
Is it the first or second?
It's driving you crazy. No, it's on the other one. It's Dole Line. This is a rough mix because I just did some overdubs last night, but I wanted to bring it because it's got another collective band involved, and yeah, I decided it would be an appropriate thing to bring here.
Well,
but
cool.
It's got Sarah singing vocals with me.
We'll play this, and then we'll come back. Maybe convince Randy to sing something for us.
Cool.
You're listening to KillRadio.org's benefits special live at KillRadio.org with the Central Second.
This game, like a rent, like a paycheck, makes you work your hands,
makes me work my hands.
This long time you're waiting, it's your life again.
It's my life again.
And you fold your arms across your limbs, and you wait at the back of the line. Fold your arms across your limbs, and you wait, wait, wait. Your mind stuck on timing makes you want to escape.
Makes you want to escape.
You're the one in the line behind the talker, talking about the weight, talking about the weight. So you fold your arms, cross your limbs, and you wait at the back of the line. You fold your arms, cross your limbs, and you wait, wait, wait. Will you see? See you.
back on killradio.org with the Central Second Kill Radio Benefit special event show. And I'm joined by members of Death to Anders, One Trick Pony, and The Transmissions. And we were just listening to a new Transmissions song featuring Sarah from Happy Hollows, which is also a collective band that unfortunately won't be playing at the fundraiser because they have another obligation because they're doing so well. But the fundraiser, again, is at the Echo, January 18th, featuring The Transmissions, Death to Anders, One Trick Pony, Anchors for Architects, and Die Wreckers Die, in not that order. I can't remember the order. But just come anyway, because it's $5. If you don't come, I'll treat you differently. So we're going to be treated to a live acoustic performance right now by Randy of One Trick Pony. Just give me a little sort of briefing on One Trick Pony and you know, who's in the band and sure. How'd you guys get together?
Okay. Just mic on. Cool. Well, yeah, One Trick Pony. We've been in tons of different forms over the last, I guess, 3 years maybe. But right now, it's me, Randy. I sing and play guitar and write, and Jen Matos, she plays keys. Well, she was playing drums. Now she's switching over to keys. We just got a new drummer like in the last couple of weeks. His name's Daniel, and our bass player Morgan Delaney. So yeah, we're One Trick Pony. Sometimes I play like just alone, and sometimes I play with just Morgan, just a drummer.
Did it start with just you, and you sort of found people to play with?
Actually, when I first moved out here, I went to Musicians Institute, and I started One Trick Pony. It's just kind of like I met this drummer and I met a bassist, and we were just like kind of just jamming, no vocals. And then we had another guitarist, and we were trying to figure out who was going to sing. And I had never sang before ever. And the guitarist was like, well, I'll do it. And I was like, oh, this is my band. I got to fucking, I got to step up and sing something or else it's going to be his. So then I did. He ended up quitting. And we started
because
from there.
Of that event right there.
He quit because our first show was the stupidest show that was ever showed. It was just so dumb. We played at some party out in West Covina or something like that, random. Because, you know, when you don't know what you're doing, especially, all your shows are super random.
Right.
And we played out there, and no one was feeling it, and they tried to turn the DJ over on us. And, like,
oh,
I was so nervous, I got really drunk, and I forgot the words to all the songs. And then, yeah, and we just, like, quit halfway through. And
who do you think of some of your major influences as it relates to One Trick Pony?
Man, it's hard because it depends on like what, you know, what I've been listening to recently. Originally, I'd probably say you know, Radiohead and Prince maybe.
It's amazing, and this isn't the first time I pointed out how amazing that is. That so many rock bands refer to Prince as one of their main influences.
Oh yeah, I mean
it's really interesting. So like at least because I've interviewed about I don't know maybe like 70 or 80 bands since I started here at Kill Radio and like. You know, I can't count on one hand the number of rock bands that refer to Prince as a big
And not even like even if I'm not even listening to Prince right now, which I haven't listened to his new stuff and like not since like I don't know like
what do you think
the
it is
Symbol
about,
album, but
what do you think it is about Prince that translates to rock musicians so well?
Well, I mean, dude, I mean Prince has been doing stuff since '78. That was his first album, and like I grew up. I have two older sisters that are 10 years older than me, and that's you know I listen to Prince because they listen to Prince. And like he had stuff like on like Dirty Mind and Controversy, which is like pretty hardcore, and like Annie Christian, that song right there. I mean, it's stripped down, this like brutal, just like four on the floor electronic beat, and like it was really controversial and edgy. And I think that's always struck me. Like he was even if the music itself wasn't rock, which sometimes it was, the attitude I think. Was, you know, like my dad was,
that's
X-rated
point.
Music. And, you know, so, of course, as soon as your parents say you shouldn't listen to it, then that's what you want to hear. And
yeah.
He was a beast. And, like, yeah, just the sexual aspect of his music was always, like, something I was like, okay, I want to be somewhat like that, so.
Well, cool, man. Let's jump into a live song. What are you going to play?
This is a song off our new album called Let Me Down. Yeah.
All right, when you're done, don't let me forget to ask you where people can get the album.
Okay, sure.
All right, this is One Trick Pony performing live in the Kill Radio studio, part of the Central Second Kill Radio fundraiser benefit show special.
out you darling, so it seems. I just can't get off the ground. And when the world's at its lowest extreme, I call you out, you let me down. You'd leave me drunk and dying dead on the street. You'd fuck some guy from uptown. You push my love to its furthest degree. I call you up and you put me down. Seems all I get from you is hurt and disdain. And the occasional frown. Here's my intestines as your flower bouquet, just as long as you come around. If you don't love me, then let me be. At least that's what I say now. Rather you kill me than set me free. I always let you let me down.
Well, I'm gonna have you on Is Good and ask you all these questions later, but before I let you off the hook, I am curious about the lyrical content to your music. Are there certain themes you like to write about and come back to a lot?
Themes, yeah. I don't know. I think this album that we just did, it's called Phantom Pains, and it's pretty much our first full out effort, and a lot of this is kind of a lot of it is about like kind of lost love, but not only that, the kind of wallowing in it. The wallowing over the past, basically wallowing over the past, and like phantom pains, as you know, it's like pains from like something that's been cut off that doesn't even exist anymore, that you're still worrying about and obsessing about, even though it's gone. It's completely gone. It doesn't exist. It's, you know, you should be over it. There's no logical reason to do it. And yeah, it's all about the past and crying over the past, spilled milk, if you will, I guess. And yeah, so that's like that era. And then, like, I guess what I'm writing about now has been a lot happier in a manic way, I guess, you know, in a like...
So you might describe your music as bipolar.
Yeah.
Depressive and, yeah, and definitely. Manic.
Yeah, yeah, this would be depressive, and then the next, what we're working on now, definitely would be the manic, just kind of like... enjoyment of life, even when it's horrible.
Well, good. That's good. That's better than your music being schizophrenic, which is not realizing that you're writing it or
it's
something.
It's about a cheese pirate with button eyes.
Tell me a little bit more about the new album and where people can get it.
The new album, actually, like this right here, is straight out of the mastering studio, and it's not anywhere until later this month, maybe even early February, or it'll be like on CD Baby and independent record stores. And then actually it'll be on iTunes through Plug Research, which is an awesome label out here based in Santa Monica, or on, it's more like Silver Lake. Sorry. It's on Santa Monica in Silver Lake, but.
Well, cool. Can we have a listen?
Of course. Yeah. Sure.
What track do you recommend from this?
I don't know.
CD? Should I just.
Maybe City Heart then.
Do you know which track
it's
number that
number
is?
It's number 3.
Okay. All right. So here's some One Trick Pony recorded. We'll be back in a minute.
Bye.
teeth. They saw the burnouts and buildings covered in poison and paintings with blood
You're listening to KillRadio.org's special fundraiser event show, A Day with the Central Second Collective. Check out myspace.com/thecentralsecond for more information on all these awesome bands. We're going to go into a live song from another live song from Death to Honduras, but now that we have Nick here, we'll get the full sound. They're still tuning their instruments. I want to ask Randy about what we just heard. Tell me about the recording of that song, man. Like, you have some crazy effects going on in there. You have guitars that sound like trumpets, you got breaks as instruments, and what's going on?
It sounds crazy, but actually I'm really not very technologically advanced. Like, I don't use any effects like live, and I don't know I didn't know how to use them really, so that became my style of not using them. So all that's there is pretty low tech. Like, the trains, I actually went into a train station and I had a mini disc with a mic, and I was recording trains, like recording them coming and going and the brakes. And actually I got approached by cops, and they're like, you know, what are you doing?
You need a permit to record?
Or they're just asking what I was doing, and then the cop was like, well, I was like, you know, I have a band. They're like, what's it called? I was like, One Trick Pony, blah blah blah. I'm just recording train sounds. And they're like, well, you know, when we get reports that Middle Eastern people are doing weird stuff. And I was like,
are you serious? That's what they said to you?
I'm not even Middle Eastern, but yeah, they said that. And like, but my biggest like regret is that I didn't record the conversation. That would have been the most awesome thing ever.
Man.
And I turned it off because he was fucking up my train sounds.
Yeah.
But then,
Yeah, I would have loved to have that conversation. I would have made a techno song out of it or something.
Oh, man, it would have been so great. But
that's incredible. I've never, you know, that's the kind of thing you joke about someone saying. You don't actually expect it to happen.
Yeah, because I was like, even if you thought that, you didn't have to say it. You didn't have to tell me that's why you could have just been like, oh, just checking to see what's going on.
Kind of wonder what was going through the guy's head, too. Like, he's going to thwart some sort of terrorist plot to record train sounds.
Oh, yeah, and, you know. We probably thought maybe I was, like, casing the joint, you know, to... I don't know, for acoustically, you know, maybe the explosion.
Make sure it sounded
see how
right.
It would. We want this explosion to carry.
Yeah.
Have enough bass in it. But
that's pretty fucked up. But that's cool that you sort of old school style just went and you knew you wanted that sound in it and you could just pick it up and then apply it. And then what did you use to kind of manipulate it into making an instrument?
Well, it's weird. It just kind of worked out. The mini disc player, which is like the most like technologically advanced thing that I have, and you can actually go through. Like I had a few sounds and just a few takes of it. You know, it stopping and starting, and then you can just go through and like physically like press stop and edit and like you know cut pieces together. And I kind of like just on the mini disc player itself, listen to it and cut pieces together so that the like kind of like. Ultimate, like when it reaches highest pitch of leaving, I would splice that into its, you know, when the train's coming in. So it's kind of this like constant stopping and going. It's
so
just,
you
like,
edit it all on the mini disc.
On
itself.
The mini disc, yeah. And then we just ran it as a track through Pro Tools and just let it run, and it just happened to be like the right pitch. And like I always love like letting things go and seeing how they work out. And we didn't manipulate it any more than that. It just ran, and like sometimes there'll be a part of like it'd go into the bridge, and the train would start taking off, and it was like it just happened like that. And we were like, one take, we just did it, and just like let it go, and that's
how
it
you
came
just rebuilt the One Trick Pony or MySpace page, or you just started a new one.
Yeah, there's a new one. Our old one was taken down because I used the cover of Tropic of Cancer, which is my favorite book, thanks to Rob, and it has a nudie picture, and they took it down. They canceled our whole site. So,
oh wow,
it's done. But now we have a new one, and it's the same URL, and so it should be fine. Just go to
So MySpace/OneTrickPony.
MySpace.com/OneTrickPony, and you'll find it. So,
cool. All right, let's get into this Death to Anders song. I'm gonna put the mic here to grab Nick's guitar, and I'm gonna give my mic over to Christian so that he can point it at Nick's head. Well, hopefully this will work out. What are you gonna play for us?
Sell Out in Africa.
All right, you're going to do one right after the other?
Yeah, sure.
Cool.
And both of them are off our album, Punctuate the Calamities, which is a Henry Miller quote from Tropic of Cancer as well. So big, big Henry Miller fans here.
Which one do you want to do first?
Let's do Sell Out first.
Okay. This goes out to Randy's beautiful olive complexion.
And also, this is a shout out to the nation. Happy birthday, man.
So this is a time when you were down, when everything settles with everything else, when everything hurts like everything else, you can count me out. 'Cause I was a joke when I needed you most. You sat there and laughed and called upon the crowd of people who you related to most. They just sold you out.
Wouldn't have dared
to cast upon all these things that happened to you. I made a record out. I made a record out. I made a record out. And I made a record out. Just hold up, you're fading, just hold up, you're fading, just hold up. You wake up, down, you fly so well when I am down, down, down. I can't wait to see you down, and I can't wait to pass you by, dead and hopeless. No, I can't wait to see you down, and I can't wait to pass you by, dead and hopeless. No, I can't wait to see you down, and I can't wait to pass you by, dead.
You're listening to KillRadio.org's special fundraiser show brought to you with the Central Second Collective. Check out myspace.com/thecentralsecond. Right now we're listening to a live set, live acoustic set from Death to Anders.
This next song is also off our album, Punctuate the Calamities, called the song's called Africa. And it's not a Toto cover. But we did have a fan, or this girl in Maryland accidentally downloaded our song because she thought it was the Toto cover, and then she like started MySpacing us, being like, "You guys are awesome." So, so it works. So it works to name your songs after cheesy '80s. You know. Forgot to clean the victim's hair out from his clothes. Oh no. Oh no. And she forgot the war inside his head when he'd get home to find them there.
Just like this. Da 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 da. And you go. Da 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 da. And you go. Da 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 da. And you go. Soaking up blood, guts, you find yourself go just like this. Da 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 da.
You go.
Da 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 da.
And you go.
Da 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 da.
And you go.
Toto rules. Woohoo! That's a great song, guys. I don't know what else to say about that. Damn. You two play guitar really well individually, but you also play guitar really well together. You seem to never seem to be strumming the same note at the same time, or even different notes at the same time. It's almost like if you close your eyes, you can almost forget that there are two people playing. It'd take a while for you guys to kind of get into that synchronicity.
I never really thought about it. It just seemed so natural. Like right when we started, you know, jamming together, we just kind of hit it off so well. I mean, we definitely come from. I mean, we both kind of like the same artists, but I had more of a. Like, I guess, like, more abrasive, more heavier, like, maybe, like, sloppier sound. And he was very, like, Nick was, was more, I guess, softer and melodic. But the two different sounds definitely complement each other.
I think also our lack of musical knowledge helps to blend with one another. Like, really, our matching ignorance definitely has made us a match made in heaven.
Yeah, I mean, if you dissected the music and looked at it, you know, in kind of like a music theory standpoint, we might be breaking a bunch of rules. I don't know, but we're both quite kind of ignorant to that, so it works.
Well, if you're not breaking any rules, then you know. And it's not art, right? I mean, yeah. One band we haven't really had a chance to talk about who's not here right now is Anchors for Architects. What can you tell me about them? Do we have any of their music to play?
Yes. It's the snake-looking CD.
Yeah. Since they're not here, can one of you just sort of tell me, you know, who they are and how they ended up in the collective? Because we're going to be seeing them live at the fundraiser
know.
On the 18th.
Who are these guys?
Yeah, I don't know. That's
Christian.
Yeah, Christian needs.
Anchors for Architects slept with me, and I liked them a lot because they were gentle all night, but then really hard in the morning. So I guess that's all I can say about them. No, I mean, I guess it's the thing to say about Anchors for Architects is that they kind of differ from the other bands in the collective.
In what way?
In sort of their attitude about. Well, no. I mean, they're just their approach to sort of how they're interacting with the community. You know, the people that would come see them play. I love
their
them.
Live performance. Andrew, with
well,
the
no, no, no. Like, just kind of their approach to how they're going to go out in the world and like share their music with people differs in a more. I don't know if passive is the right way, but they're. I think a lot of us have spent more time like trying to go out and make an effort to promote certain things in one way, and their approach to promoting is different, which is cool because promoting is basically the one thing that none of us really want to do at all.
Promoting sucks.
Because all we really want to do is play our music. Yeah. And in that way, we're all the same. Like, we just want to write songs that are, you know, about ideas or concepts arranged in some way that means something to us. And then promotion is some business aspect.
That's why people get managers, you know, so that managers can go out and bother people on your behalf. Because after you promote your first show, at the second one, you start to feel like you're dragging people in.
It's a tough balance. But Anchors takes in general a different attitude about it, which is not more positive or negative than the way that any of us approach it. And I guess because we talked about it earlier, one thing to probably address is, you were asking us about the nature of the collective. Why is it six bands? Was it something before? Will it be something afterwards? And actually, because it's no secret and it's nothing negative, but Anchors for Architects is actually going to be not part of the collective in the near future after the Echo show. But it's not like kicking out a band member and not that they weren't kicked out at all.
Yeah, yeah. And they kind of came in half-heartedly.
It's got to be into the mic or it doesn't exist.
No, I just think they, you know, they were always on the kind of periphery. Not good or bad. It's just like, with friends. It's like we like their music. They liked us. Yeah, but we weren't really connected with them and them with us either. You know, and it was kind of, and I think they felt almost like smothered. They didn't want to be a part of something that they didn't really know that much about. You know, they didn't know us. They don't want to say we're part of the collective if they actually weren't like coming to shows and being like that. It's more, I understand, you know, it's like, you don't want to say, I'm in this group. Yeah. I don't know what they're doing. Yeah, no, they're, I mean, so they're, you know, I don't want them to say, like, speak on our behalf if we don't even really know what's going on and we're not like in it.
Why don't we talk about it in a different perspective? What is it that you guys liked about Anchors for Architects music that brought them in the collective in the first place?
Well, I think they're amazing. I still think they're amazing. There's nothing, in my opinion, negative to be said about them. And
don't worry about that mic stand. It's totally fine. Yeah,
that's a bad mic stand. I guess what I'm trying to say is that not being part of the collective is kind of like a perfect representation of what the nature of a collective is all about. It's one big relationship that no one is expected to behave in the same way or have the same attitudes about anything. Them being part of it for a while and not being part of it doesn't make them any more or less my friend or make me like their music more or less. I think their music is very inspiring.
They're awesome. They're awesome
band. And the reason, to answer your question, why I feel like they were even part of the collective to begin with, and I'll take credit for saying I was the one that proposed, like, can we please add these people? Because their music fits the same qualification that all the other bands in the collective had met for me. I didn't recognize their songs as an imitation of some other band, and something about their music was adventurous and sort of cathartic. And I've felt cathartic or adventurous and non-genre specific with all the other bands, and so I saw their live show and I thought it was inspiring and amazing, and I didn't recognize the songs as imitating another band. So
awesome. Well, we'll all see them play on the 18th at the Echo for the Kill Radio fundraiser. Let's take a listen to Anchors for Architects. Is there a track anybody can recommend? I don't have a playlist in front of me.
Vultures is good, but I really like In the 90s, which is the track one on the...
Is that the CD that I have?
Yeah, yeah. Do you have the full-length CD?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I really like track one, but if you want to play two tracks, you could play track one, which is actually fairly short, and Vultures, which is like, I don't know, 9 or 10 or 11. I don't know if it has the...
All right, we'll play a couple of tracks, okay. and then we'll come back, and we'll talk about where you guys are... Well, we know where you're playing next, but where you guys are playing after the fundraiser. All right, you're listening to killradio.org's Day with the Central Second. Stick around.
Shadow Lord Vulture, it's got the fisherman's shadow on common ground. Lots of pilgrimage, cause I'm gonna be a climber. We'll have one more. Shadow Lord Vulture,
the shit out of the homes. Sound. Shooting out of the homes. Smash the pedal, make sure don't light up on the ground. Is that a necessary?
we're back on killradio.org with the Central Second Collective talking about the Kill Radio fundraiser. If you're just tuning in, just another reminder that January 18th, it's a Thursday, at the Echo, is the Kill Radio fundraiser brought to you by the Central Second Collective, featuring The Transmissions, Death to Anders, One Trick Pony, Anchors for Architects, and Die Rockers Die. It's a $5 cover. The Echo is 1822 West Sunset Boulevard. Is that Echo Park or Silver Lake?
Echo Park.
Echo Park. Technically. And 18 over, and the show starts at 8:30. And five bands for $5, and it's going to go to benefit the greatest anti-profit, anti-corporate internet radio station that begins with the letter K in the world.
KXLU? So.
Damn! No, they're not an internet station. Okay. We were talking, while we were listening to the music, we were talking a little bit about being in a collective and the kind of responsibilities and that entails. Are you guys pretty good about going to each other's shows when you're not doing a Central Second show, but if it's just like One Trick Pony's playing somewhere, do the rest of the bands go check them out? Or?
We usually, when One Trick Pony's playing, we don't go to that one show in specific, but all the other bands we...
He's the pariah of the collective.
Every yeah. One Trick Pony show.
I think that's one of the benefits of having six bands is that even if, you know, a couple people can't go, usually you get a handful of people from this band or that come to the shows because, you know, we're all pretty good about it.
So even
if
it's not a well-attended event, you can at least count on members of your collective showing up.
Yeah, yeah. Cool.
For the most part, we're going to the shows, like, not out of a sense of obligation, but more like out of... I mean, the whole reason why I became friends to begin with was out of liking each other's music. So if you go to a, you know, another band's show, it's because you're tired of sitting in your apartment and you want to go hear something good and you go see Death to Honor's play or One Trick Pony, you know.
Yeah, I mean, besides the fact that, like Nick and Sarah kind of, like, grew up kind of together in San Jose, like, all of us knew each other because of the music, and it wasn't the other way around. So it's not like your best friend or like your family member, like your mom, like supports you and says, "Oh, you're such a great band," because you know they have to.
You're my baby.
Right. You know, it's all like we are just so.
You hear that, mom?
Yeah, yeah. Hear that, mom? No, we're mutually inspired. And we all look up to each other, and it really helps because we all push each other. So, like, if One Trick Pony comes out with, like, a brand new song and he features this song, I'll listen to it and I'll be like, man, he just raised the bar. And then we all kind of, you know, go up to that level. And then, like, you know, I think yeah, I mean, because we're so inspired by each other and we go to so many of each other's shows that we all grow together. And if it wasn't for the collective, I think that we wouldn't be writing the songs that we're writing now.
Also, I think every band in our little community has they all, I mean, not only do they have good songs, but their live shows are fantastic. Pretty much every time you go see them, you can count on seeing an amazing live show. And there's nothing worse than finding a band that you like, listening to their CD, and then going to see them live and just being totally disappointed because yeah. They
and that can happen even with the biggest band, major label band. You go see them finally, and it's like, oh, it's just kind of them on a stage, is it?
you know,
it doesn't. There's no quality to it, or yeah.
Your corporate backing got where you are. Got you where you are, you bastard. Mm-hmm.
Do you guys have like Central Second fans? Like fans, not necessarily of any one particular band, but. But people who go to shows because they're Central Second shows. Do you know?
We have like the same people kind of congregate to all the shows. We've only had like two Central Second shows, right?
Yeah, so it's hard to say.
I
think so. Yeah.
No, I there are people that, and I mean, but and it's exactly what we wanted the Central Second to do, which is like kind of sharing fans, like, you know, somebody who would come to Transmissions, you know, show happens to see Death to Anders, blah, blah, blah. So now they're turned on to that. And like, there's definitely people that like MySpace is, you know, such an awesome thing that you can personally see who heard you and why, you know, like I write messages. It's like, oh, how'd you hear us? Blah, 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 blah. Mm. And like, I found you on Death to Anders site. You know what I'm saying? So then therefore, like they found me because of Death and Honors, blah, blah, blah. So now they come to shows that, you know, multiple
they wouldn't have
members
come to before.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, we
I think we share people like that, and I get that all the time. Especially like we get people from Happy Hollows fans, you know, from Transmissions, everybody. Like, there are definitely people who go, like, and I always get surprised because I'll go, like, first I'll be playing a show as, you know, the entertainer, then I'll go to somebody else's show and I'll see somebody who I met at my show at, you know. Because, again, yeah, we kind of like this.
And that's kind of a cool thing, too. Yeah. Like, I've been in a situation where, like, I've gone to see a band because I like them, or maybe I know the guy in the band. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then later, you know, it's like you meet those people over again at a different location. Mm-hmm. Then it's suddenly like, oh, it's cool. Because then it's like you're hanging out with the band and you share a similar, you know, then you'll see that artist at the next band's show.
Yeah, it starts growing. Yeah,
you know?
I definitely.
Like, I feel like you're almost on their level again, you know, like.
Yeah. So, yeah, because I see fans that I know personally as like people who come to my shows, and then I'll go, like, it happened at we went to go see Happy Hollows, like a bunch of us went to go see them at what's that bar, it's is it Sinister, but it's like something
bar?
No, it's club, it's like Club Sinister, but it's something, that's when it's like goth.
Oh, Bordner's, like, Bordner's, Club, yeah. Moscow or something.
Yeah, Bordner. I went to go see them at Bordner's, and I met a bunch of people that I know because of my shows, and I was like, oh wow,
they like, are you a Trick Pony?
Yeah, they were surprised to see me, and I was surprised to see them, and they, like, you know, they completely, not because I told them, like, hey, go check out Happy Hollows. They found us, and they found, you know, their MySpace, or found how, you know.
Are any of you guys playing anywhere before the 18th?
I am. I'm playing tomorrow night at
where?
At Crane's Tavern.
Yeah, no, I've heard it. I'm familiar with that. I actually just interviewed, wait a minute, I wonder if you guys are playing the same show. It's an act called Ghost Town.
I don't know.
Might be a different night. I don't know. But I just interviewed a guy.
I really don't know. Cause
yesterday, who has played Crane's Tavern before and is playing it again soon.
Yeah,
might be
it's really.
Night.
I just like booked it really recently, like last week. They asked me to come play. I think I'm playing it at 10:30.
Cool.
So, and I think it's free. And I'll probably just play by myself.
That's kind of like I haven't been there myself, but that's kind of known for more like an acoustic, kind of like a quieter scene, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because it's a tiny place, but I mean, it's kind of cool. I played there before, and like these guys were here, they saw it. Yeah, I probably just even if the band isn't around, I try to play acoustically as much as I can, just to, you know, like kind of like it helps promote for like our bigger shows, like the Echo. So yeah, tomorrow night.
And that's One Trick Pony, by the way, because
I can't
see you.
Me over here. Yeah, One Trick Pony, tomorrow night. Crane's Tavern, 10:30, free.
And what about other shows after the Kill Radio benefit on at the Echo on the 18th? Do you guys have any big shows planned or anything like that?
As far as Death to Honors goes, not really. We're playing in Bakersfield, the hot spot known as Bakersfield, and that's it right now. We're trying to put some stuff together for the spring, possibly Northern California shows and. We're definitely cutting down our LA shows, maybe just like once a month as opposed to two or three times a month, just to, you know, help out the attendance, I guess.
I would just like to put out the word to any foreign listeners, any listeners in Europe, if you'd like to book the Central Second European tour. I think we're all pretty much available in spring since no one's got a show book. So
nice.
Just let us know what venue to come to.
You just wait and see. You wait and see, because we do actually have listeners in Europe.
I believe you,
right,
and
now.
I really want to go there now.
Why don't we play some music while we wait to see if the other collective members are going to show up? Maybe some Transmissions. We haven't heard much from you. We only heard that one song.
You can play another new song on that disc right yonder there, called "I'll Run It." It's track two.
It's my all-time favorite Transmission song. I freaking
the rest of them suck.
Love this song. No, this song is so good.
Well, it sounds nice.
No, it's my favorite. I want to hear this too.
So it's track two, and this is a new mix that we're doing our best to mix ourselves, just so we can be more part of the process. And so yeah, this is a mix that will hopefully be done shortly, and we'll have a new EP in a couple of weeks.
All right, you're listening to A Day with the Central Second Collective on killradio.org. It's part of our promotion for the Kill Radio fundraiser at the Echo that's going to feature Death to Anders, One Trick Pony, Anchors for Architects, Die Rockers Die, and the Transmissions, who we're about to hear right now, this very second.